Welcome to Arts Underground, folks. I'm Katie Ganaway, and today our special guests are Ashe Salah and Kevin Richardson. Hello, guys.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Good to have you guys here. Yeah, and you are here to talk about the curated gallery that is coming May 2nd through the 4th to the Times Building in Huntsville. So can you briefly tell us the origin of the curated gallery?
So it's sort of...
And this is Kevin speaking.
Yeah, it's sort of, I guess, conceived through a meeting about 2 years ago. And we sat down for lunch one day and started discussing different things about the community and how we create creativity and what can impact the community. And, of course, Ashe is the artist. So I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. really, we were looking at just the structure, the market of art here. Mm-hmm. In Huntsville and the need, and we figured there was a specific need and we wanted to cater to that need. And, you know, there's a team of us and we all specialize in different areas in this business, mm-hmm. and all of them pertain to the arts in some sort of way. And we realized that most of our schedules and our, like, daily activities surround art. It's literally around everywhere. But we realized also the lack of galleries.
Oh, yeah.
In Huntsville, right?
And last year was underground.
Yes, last year was underground for the curated. And we also saw that there was a opening and closing ratio that was closing in terms of, like, these businesses not staying open as long as they could have. When we looked at the demographics and we looked at the sales that was happening within our region in terms of people purchasing art, most people who are buying art, they go to places like Low Mill. Shout out to Low Mill. And, you know, most of these people are looking for a specific style of work, and they're coming from other areas. I would say about 70 to 80% of the sales are from other states that come to Huntsville to find art, which is like, okay. So that made me think, well, where are all the local artists if we don't have the visibility to show the work? Where are they showing their work? And we found that a lot of them aren't showing their work. Yeah. And that puts you into a mind state of, you know, is this really for me? Is this just a hobby? Or is this going to be a career for me? And being an artist and going through art school and obtaining my MFA right now, I see a lot of insight. I see a lot of information. I see a lot of trial and error firsthand from many different sources that allows me to be equipped with what is necessary for this particular area, this location in Huntsville, to provide the need. And so we wanted to put our heads together and create, basically, I don't really know if the word business is the right way I want to describe it, but more of like
a community,
a family, where these artists that don't have experience can learn and be educated on what it means and what it takes to be a business, how to get your LLC or S-Corp, if that's what you decide to do. We also wanted to be able to give them opportunities to have critique sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very important. Is your work speaking clearly? Is it really resonating? Is your voice being shown in the work? And so we wanted to be really catered to that, provide workshops, branding, marketing, things like that. And also Arts Huntsville has been a great supporter for us. Shout out to Arts Huntsville.
Hey.
And, you know, they have been just very, very considerate, being that we are a small business, and willing to help and give us resources in any way. But ultimately, we wanted to be able to provide this particular need that we know is necessary here in Huntsville.
I also read online that you, through Curated Gallery, you want to take normal spaces and make them into experiences. So how did the Times Building come to mind? How did you land on that?
That was a hunt.
Yeah.
We literally felt like we were hunting. Like, because Huntsville is so rich, and just like many other cities, you know, it's rich, the culture and the history. So we were looking for buildings. We were saying out loud, cool buildings. But I guess what we really meant was buildings with, they have the character. Sometimes you just walk into a space and you're like, oh, wow.
So what about the Times Building just like stood out to you guys?
There's a part of my practice that I'm calling spatial protections. And it means basically the idea of feeling vulnerable or feeling safe into spaces, whether it be cloth, jewelry, architecture, these particular things that you use, like your body is the site, but the building or whatever that you're choosing to layer or cover you is just the addition support. And I'm writing the paper on that, but that's what I'm looking for when I'm seeing a space. How many levels? Is it functional? Is it interesting enough to captivate? Can we makeshift this into an experience? And so typically we have been consistent with finding places that have stairs and elevators for people who have the disabilities. They also deserve the same amount of awareness and attention to be able to enjoy themselves just as much as anyone else. So we look for those two things right away. What do they say? When you touch something, it makes it realer. When you smell it, or the senses, we want to be able to engage mostly all of your senses when you walk into our experiences. So,
how did you gauge that when you walked into the Times Building? All five senses.
I think, Kevin, you got to it before anybody else.
Well, you know, one thing. So coming from New York,
yeah,
something about steps, just like the first few galleries, exhibits we had. The stairs, there's something about, I don't know, it's just like in the basement, and it's a certain character to foundation and having a room underground, you know, because normally in a house, it's just the basement. It's like kids, it's usually the place people don't want to go. So changing that element, you know, sometimes kids are scared of the basement growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
So taking that element, but the New York element hit me right away from just walking past it every day. Mm-hmm. When I first came to Huntsville, that was one of the first places we were looking at to possibly put
an office space.
That was 2017.
The title of this exhibition is Echoes of it.
Sorry, it totally wants
to know. I should get my narrator voice. Echoes of Infinity.
Infinity.
So it's Echoes of Infinity, transversing the Muses landscape, that's bringing back time and whatever inspires the artist in terms of what they consider the muse to be in that particular subject matter that they're creating from. And so, yeah, we wanted to be able to allow these works to echo so loud when people leave this space that they will remember this. And it becomes a core memory for kids because it is a Ken Frilly event and they need to be engaged as well. So
how did you guys last year, was it kid friendly? Did you advertise it as kid friendly?
I don't know if we really harped on it.
But I went and it seemed pretty kid friendly to me. So,
yeah.
But this year, how are you specifically keeping kids in mind, like engaging them? Because you, Kevin, are a teacher for music programs here in Huntsville.
Yes, I guess we're both tying into teaching.
Yeah, yeah, Ashley as well.
Yes, through the kids, mainly through the kids you teach.
Yeah. Shout out to Arts and Medicine with Huntsville Hospital.
Okay. Arts and Medicine.
So the first part of discussion was there where, you know, I was doing some work in that particular space and it's still in progress. But the thought, it became bigger and the reach became a little bit more. I began to see a wider scope, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, you know, being a teacher, it's never going to leave you to not want to teach. And so we were like, man, we do have to get the kids involved with this. I know personally just from teaching, I know that what I'm applying into their creative mindset is helping in other areas of their curriculum by far, right? And then also when I was in my adolescence learning and trying to understand who I was creatively, I needed to see what that looked like. And so we're doing this city a disservice if we don't provide those sorts of resources for them to actually have time to play, right? A lot of spaces aren't safe to play anymore.
Mm.
You know, this is a space where they're able to creatively explore and apply those things, not just painting, but sculpture. There's a whole lot of things.
I was going to say, are there any like tactile things that they can just go up and like touch and go, ooh.
They will
have some things in mind. Yes,
ooh,
we do.
TBA.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So, but the kid thing, it's always been at the center of Kevin's heart, my heart, and the rest of the team. We just needed to figure out how do we do this that's different from what everyone else is doing.
Talk about how, both of you, how being an educator, you're applying that to this exhibit. What sort of perspective are you bringing when you're thinking about how these people are going to view it?
Okay.
From, you know, kids to 92 years old, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
Well, one of our models is to educate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, most people, when they come into a space, especially a collector, they don't...
Well, there's a
side. I get excited about this. Okay, most collectors, and if you're an artist listening to this, they do not want to be hounded about your work. You know, you could talk too much or too little, but they ultimately want to make an opinion about the work. They want to be able to see the work and take something away from it themselves.
Without the artist suggesting.
Without the suggestion, right? And that's how you know your work is really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
The kids aspect.
We did realize that, okay, there's going to be people coming in, there's going to be collectors coming in, there's going to be journalists coming in to write about this. Some don't know the language.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach them the language. And so we've been able to train some of the staff or the team, I guess I say staff, but the team, the art language, so that way, let's say a three-year-old comes in and is like, hey, I like that. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
And we can say, hey, okay, so this is called abstract. Just giving them the language so they understand exactly what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different styles and techniques as well that we are actually giving that information to the viewer. And that has been very helpful. And we make it so that they don't feel pressure to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just want to come out and enjoy themselves. So we've allowed our format on the floor of the gallery space to be free-flowing where they can purchase works directly from
right.
the wall.
And they can meet the artists
they
there
can meet
as
the
well.
Artists, mm-hmm. yes.
And then implement fun things like the coloring sheets last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
or
right.
sometimes when you're in a museum, again, thinking about New York, you have to be older or, you know, that stigma with... When you go into an art show, you have to dress like this, and you have mm-hmm. to be of this kind of mindset.
But y'all seem to be about accessibility.
Yes,
like,
and
that
having
seems
fun.
To be the key to
yes.
yeah. and having fun. Yeah, of course.
It goes down to the marketing and how mm-hmm. signs are placed. You can see that we have serious artists, but there's also an element of fun, creativity.
I would be in the fun camp personally. I don't know anything, but yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about. Your art, Ashe.
Okay.
So you have studied and are studying at the Art Institute of Chicago. You just
Correct.
Flew in.
Yes.
Not long ago. As we said, you've served as an art educator and you've also served as a social worker. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
You know, I just gave this information out to my cohort in Chicago and they were all mm-hmm. like, you know, what are you using from that to implement into your practice?
Mm.
You know, and... It was one of those divine timing situations.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moment in my life where I was really second-guessing my career path in the art market. And I needed to figure out something other than what I've been doing for the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I need to serve. That was the main thing. But how am I going to do that? And so I went to school and I looked into it and I was like, hey, you know, I grew up in areas where I've already had the necessary skills to handle impoverished youth. And I went for it. I took on the Department of Human Resources. I went into the Child Protective Service Unit, investigations specifically. And there was a lot that I saw that I won't go into too much detail.
I'm sure it was harrowing.
There was a lot of trauma-based circumstances that was really heavy. And my background and experiencing some of the same situations equipped me to know how to deal with these kids dealing with trauma.
Mm.
And that was the reward I received from that job. It made me full every day knowing that I was able to be there at the right time to serve them and tell them some of my background, like, hey, man, I've been through this before, or,
yeah.
you know, whatever the situation was. And I was able to give them art tips. Hey, I know you may not be into art, but considered doing a journal, doodle in it every day and create something. Mm-hmm. That was one of the ways that I was able to express. That was my first way of expression growing up. So it made sense at the time. And ultimately, once you fill your fishbowl, you need to get into a new fishbowl.
And did that experience translate into your art? Did you carry that with you?
So right now I'm doing a case study about levels of trauma. I'm dealing with more metaphysics in terms of aura fields and whatnot.
Okay.
The work that I'm doing now is based off time and motion and how that relates to your identity. And what they're saying in a lot of institutions and schools, they're saying that, you know, art imitates life. And when you look at a painting, the orientation needs to be a certain way, almost as if the painting is supposed to replicate life. And then the camera is supposed to replicate the painting. And so when I look at that, I'm like, okay, well, let me see if I can reverse the painting to replicate the camera. Mm. And so that's where my idea came from. I wanted to create scenes. I was always in an environmentalist in a way where I would go out into spaces and I would just sort of look at the space, look at the structure, and take a photographic memory, go back to the studio and paint it. And so my first semester in SAIC, that's what I did. Mm. And so they sort of picked the work apart and gave me some foundations to kind of look further into. And that question did come up in the first year. Mm-hmm. And well, we see your background. What? You know,
connect
and so
the dots. Yeah.
I started to go back to some foundations. I created a series of questions that were emotion-based questions. Mm-hmm. And I found particular people. So I would just walk through Chicago and kind of air hustle. And then some of the students who dealt with trauma or have experienced that at some point, I would interview them. So we were stationed in my studio, and then we will record the session, and I would get a mirror, and I would have a hammer and a screwdriver. In that particular semester, I was studying fragmentation. So like keyframes, when you animate those sorts of splits and the repetition that happened when you split, I wanted to do that, but I wanted to do it in a more unconventional way, and I wanted to make it edgy. So it's like, I need to use glass because it's reflected, it's showing who you are. Even though that the glass is cracked and shows this sort of distorted imagery, you're still whole. You're still this same person. And so what I would do is I would ask these questions, and based off their answers, words are associated with colors, with color psychology. I studied that as well. And so what I wanted to do was filter down their answer to a single word and associate that word with a color. And at the end of the session, I would have an aura field of colors based off their experience from that trauma that they had in the past or present, wherever it is located on the spectrum. And so I used those skills from social work and all of the knowledge I obtained with like human behavior. And I added that into the practice for this case study. So that's going to be maybe a 50-piece. I may stitch them all together by hand. So the mirror that I did give them, I would put it up in front of their face, and then I would stand behind them to get a straightforward shot of their distorted face. Mm-hmm. And I would use that as the framework to do their portrait.
Wow.
And so the glass particles from each mirror is going to be infused into the canvas somehow. That part I'm still working out. I don't know if I want to paint them completely with acrylic, or if I want to just leave them on the ground as an installation piece to show like the relics of, you know, what was of this person, you know. Mm-hmm. But the message is we're all the same. We all deal with trauma, and most of us don't even realize it, but that doesn't make you any different than anyone else. If yours higher or lower, it doesn't matter. We all experience this emotion. Mm-hmm. And so by me unifying all these portraits together and all these colors is showing one huge spectrum of energy that's basically, you know, speaking to being human, you know.
And your works do, from what I've seen, do tend to incorporate this energy and really capture motion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. And so last year you had some pretty like energetic paintings that looked like you were just looking at the sidewalk in New York or...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder if you're going to have those pieces or similar pieces featured in this exhibit. this year?
Yeah. I don't, some of those pieces have sold, so I won't be able to present some of those. But I do have a few that I did hold on to.
Okay.
And I've went into a different direction with those pieces. It was hard to do, but I've cut up a lot of those pieces, and I'm actually collaging them into a scroll.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, amazing. My mindset, do amazing. It. Oh, and yeah. So, and I was just making sure that everything translated correctly with just the papers that I write to pair with the work. And yeah, so now there are multiple paintings from the past that are conjoined, and they are going to be stitched together. Some have blue tape on them, and I've decided to leave some of the tape where it is, just because it's just another element holding the fabric together. And so I'm excited about showing what that means for me, because now I'm able to understand time a bit better, extending it, layering it, collapsing time. And so collaging is a medium that expresses time at its best ability. And I'm very excited about presenting maybe two or three of those pieces this exhibition.
And of course, the two cohesive elements here are art and music. So Kevin, let's swing it back to you.
Okay.
I want to hear more about your creative background. You are a music producer, music teacher, composer.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about your background.
My background.
And your connection to the art world.
Yes. All the way back? Okay.
Just give me a brief.
A brief, don't go too far.
Yeah, yeah.
Piano, grew up for a love of piano in the beginning, and that moved into producing music from great people, Dilla and Pharrell and Timbaland and all these names that you normally hear. You know, that turned into interest in film, which I think now it starts to become more of the art form. And because a lot of times when they're cinematography, is looking at angles and lighting and how it all adds to the mood of what we watch.
And inspires what you do.
Yes, inspires what I do. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of the background music for TV shows and films
like things like that.
Name drop time. Love is Blind. Me and my wife would sit down and listen to it like, did you hear it? Yeah, okay, bam, that was good. And then other TV shows, a lot of the reality TV shows, like Love and Hip Hop and any of the newer reality TV shows. Josh Duhamel had a just recent series.
I have no clue.
It's called.
I'm so sorry.
I should know the name of it, too. MTV Hills.
Okay.
And a few of those things like that. The art plays in with the cinematography.
Right.
I love seeing, if you watch your favorite movie without the music, imagine how different of a story it would tell.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because a lot of times, those songs like Lana Del Rey and it's not Inception, it's Shutter Island. It really makes a scene. Leonardo, he's already a great actor, right? But then when you couple the vision of the lighting and how the scene is being shot, then with great talent, and you add the music, this is when you come up with Oscar-winning, you know, films.
Yeah.
So I just love that whole aspect.
So you're the creative director for a curated gallery.
Yes.
What are your duties as assigned? How would you describe that?
It's really a collaborative. The titles are there for as they are. Okay. Yeah, for business mostly.
Right.
But we always. That's what I love about our team. It's a great collaborative effort. It's not like, okay, you just do that. You're creative director, right? Okay, so you do that. We don't
shove it off on you.
Right. But then it's also the team, the balance of maybe two of us may say, I think this direction is good. And Ashe has told us plenty of times, if you guys think it's good, okay, let's roll with it. So I love there's that sense of trust there, but there's also respect amongst all of us. And we're all creative. We're all great creatives.
Yeah, it's so cool because I could put a design out and it's like, yeah, it's cool. Check this out, though. somebody else will put out a design. I'm like, I like that better than mine. So it's really cool. And then one of the things I do love, when Kevin walks into a space, I'm already seeing his eyes travel to lighting and just like the overall aesthetic of the room. And for me, I love doing that as well. So It's a seamless team, you know.
And I never thought about the direction. It just all happened very organically, since the first time we met. But like he's saying, walk into a room and then we'll start thinking ideas. I don't want to give it away for the show, but there's another special moment in the show where I was thinking it, but I didn't say anything. And then maybe like 10 minutes later, Ashay is like, you know what? This would be really nice. And I'm like,
yeah, that was
okay,
crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yep.
No, you're that's okay. why we're all. You're just going to leave me on. Yeah. Okay.
But that's happened like quite a few times.
I know.
Yeah.
We're thinking the same thing, but sometimes we don't say it out loud. But one of us would. I'm like, you read my mind. Nice. This is crazy.
Did you guys work together on the playlist that's going to be there of music?
Yes.
And is some of your music going to be on the playlist?
I was thinking, I think so.
I think it should be.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep. I've been sort of, we have another project working on too, but. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes,
so
we've been curating.
Of Austin, of Kevin,
yes,
awesome.
Blended together. But we've been curating that playlist. It's an ever-growing, organic, you know, playlist. So we've been growing that since the first show.
Yeah.
And it was nice. A lot of people commented, oh, I love the music. And
yeah, we dig deep into the crates.
Mm-hmm.
Deep into the crates.
Okay. So there's a lot of nostalgia in this playlist.
Aww.
And I love that, the underground part tying into that. Okay, there will be artists that everyone's heard of.
Right.
But a lot of it is, who's that person?
I have to pull out the Shazam or something.
And if you think about whenever you heard a really good song your friends told you about, it always feels that much better when it's someone you'd never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like the excitement level goes
through the roof. Because then you have a whole catalog to explore.
Yeah, like, wow, where's this person been all my life? And they just keep going through. Like,
especially when they speak your life.
I love finding a new playlist and then go to the studio and create some new work based off like the energy of the song.
That's amazing. Talk about how, compare the first year to this year. Like, what sort of challenges are you facing this year? Or surprisingly awesome things that you're seeing in the development?
I feel like the first time, it's always like your nerves aren't totally controlled, right? So you're anxious about everything. Like, oh, am I doing this correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Do people notice the errors? Those sorts of thoughts. Well, that was for me. I'm like, oh, man, you know, we missed this. Or, you know, man, we forgot to do this. And, oh, the audio went out. They're minor, but they become big in your head when you want it to go a certain way to provide something for other people. And so just like logistics, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the hospitality, I feel like we did our best with what we had, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, just simple things. Lighting maybe in certain areas wouldn't hit the painting the right way we would like. Oh, we need to use these lights next time.
So the first time, again, since we're transforming spaces, things can't be permanent. It's a lot easier when you can like, okay, we can just screw this here.
Yeah.
We're trying to do it in a way where it's elegantly done, but then also it has to come down. You know,
right.
So that trying to balance that. So the first time we put up all the lights and we had all these extension cords going everywhere. And I guess another shout out to David Johnson, the owner of that building.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, we probably shouldn't have all this stuff hanging. most of the crowd can't see it. So then second time around, I can't remember if it was my son or... I think it was my son, because he's really in tech and like smart plugs and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you should have your studio on a smart plug. So you just say, hey, Alexa, turn the studio on. And then I think my wife said, maybe we should do that with the art show. Then we got to a moment where he helped me set it up. My son helped me set it up. And Ashay walked in and then he's like, watch this. Alexa, lights on. And he just had to hit the switch and all the gallery lights turned on. Before we had to like... run and plug everything in before people were coming show. Then it went to automate it, the third show, the second show.
Yeah. So a lot less sweat on your brow this
year. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the second show. One thing we won't be doing as much now because figuring things out. Me and Ashay, 10 minutes before people were coming in, we were running around putting up flyers like, head this way. Oh, we forgot to put this in.
But it's
so
like
many stories.
Trial and error. You learn and you apply it to the second. Yeah.
Or just good. Like, Inventory.
What sort of good stuff happened that you're even proved on or made even better, rather, for this year?
Well, one thing I was going to mention, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like how Shay said, the nervous part and hospitality, making sure everything's right. With us all being like that and thinking, oh, do we have enough food or do we have, you know, different things? Yeah. But then getting the overwhelming, we love the show.
Yeah.
And we're like, it looks good. We're proud of it.
Yeah,
but there
was
no critique. They wanted more art.
More art.
Yeah.
So people didn't see what we thought was a red balloon in the middle of the room.
We are a lot more efficient.
Right.
We have...
And more art.
We have more art. More support.
Yes. Okay. Times 20.
The artists have been still to this day submitting portfolios after the deadline has closed. So we have visibility that we didn't have last show, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're learning each other's strengths on the team a lot more. We're able to fine-tune action steps a lot better because of, like, okay, we see that this is something that is just super organic for this particular person, right? Mm-hmm. They fit well in this particular space. So we just know the roles a lot better. We don't have to buy as much inventory on certain things in terms of, like, tools and stuff.
I guess going back to the kids, now this show, giving them more of a moment for this show.
Yeah, last year we just gave them activities. This year we're giving them opportunity to show their work.
Nice.
So
that's a kind of building and positive
empowerment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They want to keep growing. Of course, the spaces is always going to transform and
it won't
ever get old.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we've been to that a few times. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a new thing.
What's the biggest goal that you want to meet? Like, I know you want to, like, do yourself better every year, but, like, what sort of huge thing would you like to accomplish? Like, do you have something at the end of the tunnel that you're like, I must do that?
Our own building.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Our own space.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And we have so many plans for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So many.
There's
Where are you thinking?
Dream boards and things we put together and mood boards for things like that.
So let's talk about the Arts Leadership Program. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So that's hand in hand with your motto of accessibility, of creating access to underprivileged students, to children in Huntsville, giving them this new way to explore art and their own creativity. Can you talk about that?
So Arts Leadership Program, ALP, it is something that we are really passionate about, and it's another way to serve. Essentially, it's giving these students, these young scholars, the opportunity to see different forms of art that they have not been exposed to, along with creating a pathway for them in a specificness of what they actually really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you get into art programs, you may go in thinking you're a painter, you come out a sculptor.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know that unless you had the opportunity to be exposed to those elements. And we want to be able to give them a head start with this, not only for, the intellect, but also the emotional intellect.
Mm.
And a lot of healing takes place in these sessions, you know. A lot of times, you know, I might deal with a student who's frustrated, right?
Mm.
Give them a conceptual prompt. They work through this particular prompt. They create a piece of work from that prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And it solves some of the issues that they were dealing with from whenever, today, early in the week, whatever it may be. And so the Arts Leadership Program is a means to give them the exposure, allow them to understand art not just on a creative level, but also behind the scenes as well, where they're able to understand the business side of it. Because you got to get the whole scope. You know,
yeah.
You can't just go in and create and then think that this is going to be the bread and butter. There's a lot behind an artist's career, and it's one of the hardest careers to navigate if you don't know the business side of it.
How to create a brand for yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we want to give them that because we all have the resources and we have the connections here in Huntsville that are supporting us. So why not give them exposure to those resources, yeah. right? You know, it just makes sense. And we want to be able to offer them scholarships too,
yeah.
right? We want to be able to give them some financial compensation to be able to do something with that creatively at the end of their fellowship program. In my mind, the way it actually is going to, in its final form, like I can't wait to see what that looks like, mm-hmm. you know, and see the smiles and see, could I get a letter of recommendation or, you know, mm-hmm. just those things that will be helpful for them to pursue their career. Like, that's what it's about.
What ages are you thinking?
Yeah, so grade school age to high mm-hmm. school age.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. And do you have any partners in mind, community partners in mind?
We do have some partners in mind, so if you're listening.
Give us a call.
Give us a call, please. Maitland Conservatory is definitely number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Arts and Medicine Huntsville, Huntsville Hospital, they have a great program. Darie with BHU has a great program that we have been interested in.
And also I was going to point out, we may not be, or we may not say the name of a company or... But people hearing this, they would know how they would impact mm-hmm. and be involved. Because then that right. gets creative, too. We may not be thinking of a particular industry.
Right.
And it may say, we actually can open up this door for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's a land trust or something that gets involved in, like, you guys want to do a building. Here's for this scholarship program. Mm-hmm. We actually will grant you a mixed-use property for this.
Right.
You know.
So this is still in the dream stage. Correct.
It's a little bit, well, yes, a step after the dream stage.
Okay. Okay.
Developing.
Development like stage. Right,
just the foundation. So, these yeah. exhibits are
right.
We have like building. One more step, and then we can go ahead and move forward.
Cool.
And then the sanctuary is another place I thought about, that workspace.
The sanctuary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to do some sort of workshop with them through AOP.
And this happens once a year, correct? I just wanted to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, so...
But are you looking to expand?
We've been talking about expansion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, I guess we could just announce it now. We're looking to do quarterly events.
Okay,
and
quarterly.
They're not specific to gallery spaces. We have
nice.
Other outlets from the curated brand mm-hmm. that we're actually going to start launching this year.
Right.
And so it is going to cater to other elements in art.
Also want to take a moment to more than shout out our other half of our team.
Pay our acknowledgements.
Yes, our acknowledgements. Because a team, that's exactly what it is. There's no,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's we're like a quarter of each to make the whole thing move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one quarter of the team would be Susanna mm-hmm. Richardson and
Jordan Wilson Fudge.
And then you'll be able to meet all of us, of course, at the event.
Yes,
because
yes.
we'll be try not to run around sweating too much, but
right.
we'll make that look elegant.
I won't give you a hug or anything. But they,
they help keep us sane. Hopefully,
oh,
we do
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you guys for being here today. I really appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, yes. Katie. It was amazing.